we're actually going to, there's a whole lot of audibles today. Just bear with me, AV. You won't have these verses. Well, let's jump down to verse 13. And we'll kind of go back and forth. We'll do one verse. We're picking up where we started on last Sunday with the message, Holy Boldness, looking at the interaction with the Apostle Peter as he addressed these religious leaders. One verse is not going to be on the screen, just whatever you have before you. Verse 13 of Acts 4. Listen to this statement. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Uneducated, untrained, but they had been with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you and we thank you for this tremendous privilege to share this word with this your people. Father, we ask right now for an outpouring of your presence in this place. Help us, Lord God, to appreciate all that you have done for us. All of the moments where the situation was dire, but God. And we're grateful that you know how to step in. You know how to fix. You know how to heal, deliver, protect, because you are a mighty God. So, Father, we've gathered together to experience your presence afresh. Help us, Father God, to look at this text and to walk away confident that we have been empowered to be bold and holy. We submit this prayer to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of, I told y'all they was on the same bus. Look at this, y'all. Amen. Looking good in here now. Amen. 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 We'll forego the video, AV. Thank you all so much. On last week, we kicked off, which I didn't realize was going to be a two-part message, but a two-part message entitled Holy Boldness. We're in this series entitled Eternal Lifestyle. And we built a foundation understanding the calling of every believer, which is to let our lights shine before men. We understand the value of our presence in the community. We ought to be the salt of the earth to preserve and prepare the way for the gospel. And we also concluded that if we don't do it, who else is going to do it? This is our assignment. No one else has this specific assignment but the believer. So we looked at our opening statement, our message moment from last week. It says, as we grow into eternal lifestyle living, we must embrace telling our story. And that simply means is we are not called to be ordinary. We are called to be bold. We are called, eventually, we're supposed to live it before men. We're supposed to walk in holiness before men, that they would see the light of the Lord in us. But ultimately and eventually, we're going to have to say something. I need a little help up in here, y'all. Can y'all hear me good? All right, I can't hear myself on stage, but it's all good. But can you hear me out there? Praise God. But eventually, you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to eventually open up your mouth and communicate the truth of the gospel to someone. There's no way that a child of God can be saved but never share his or her faith. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It's ungodly and it is wrong. So we are learning that we have to be bold. Somebody say, be bold.
Be bold.
So it's about, as I mentioned last week, it's not about being arrogant or cocky. It's not about trying to be seen to get a following. But watch this. It's about standing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Standing upon the word of God. Standing under the authority of his will. and standing for the giving of his glory. I'll repeat that again. It's about standing in the power of the Holy Spirit, standing upon the word of God, standing under the authority of his will, and standing for the giving of his glory. What I love about that simple statement is it helps me to understand that I ain't by myself. I need a witness already. I'm not by myself. I don't do this for me, by me. It's all done by God for his glory. I'm simply an instrument, a broken vessel, a worn out, wretched vessel that he cleans up and uses for his glory. So none of us under the sound of my voice are disqualified from being bold for his glory. None of us. I don't care whatever you did before you met Christ and whatever slips you've had after meeting him, you are not disqualified from being a witness for the Lord. And it is with that same boldness that we make our way into the book of Acts, specifically Acts chapter 4, where we find Peter standing in power and authority and communicating the truth of the gospel. Peter had to defend a miracle that was done for this lame beggar in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to church like we did this morning. And as they were walking into church, there was a lame beggar said, listen, I need some money. Peter and John said, I don't have a dime on me, bro, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And at that instant, he took him by the right hand. I feel like preaching now. He took him by the right hand, and that man had power just coursing through his veins. He stood up, and he leapt into church and began to praise God. And consequently, whenever there are some miraculous things that take place, we discover that miracles pave the road to belief. That was one of our points from last week. Miracles pave the road to belief. Miracles don't just happen for a show. They happen to lead to belief. And so Peter and John and this little lame beggar go into the sanctuary and watch this. People are amazed. They're awestruck at what they are seeing. And then Peter begins to preach. Why y'all surprised? The power that raised this man is the same power in Jesus Christ, the one y'all killed. And he began to preach and he began to minister. He began to share. And consequently, people got saved. Miracles paved the road to belief. But then secondly, the message to the people must be bold. This is not the time for a middle of the road gospel. Oh, God, this is not the time for a feel-good gospel. The good news is good even when you talk about the bad news. As a matter of fact, the good news gets gooder after you've talked about the bad news. And so he begins to preach and he begins to proclaim. And as the text moves on in Acts chapter 3, making our way to Acts chapter 4, as he's preaching, as he's talking, as he's declaring that they killed Jesus Christ, but the Father raised him from the dead. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, while they were speaking, while he was preaching, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them. Somebody say confronted. And we talked about, listen, you have to know that the world will not be pleased when you are bold. The world is not going to be pleased. So they confront them. These religious leaders confront Peter and John while he's in the midst of his. It's like I'm preaching now and somebody stands up and interrupts my sermon. The text says while he was preaching. And here's what I love. Two things I want you to get. Peter was prepared for their question when they asked him a question. Peter had power in his response. And Peter was clear in his communication. Those are already on your sheet. I'm just catching you up from last week, all right? But here is the joy of all of that. In the midst of them confronting him and him responding to their confrontation, verse 4 of Acts chapter 4 says, people still believe. See, persecution cannot and will not stop the church of Jesus Christ. But we, beloved, have to keep moving forward. We cannot allow or be intimidated when people come against us. We have to still be bold. As a matter of fact, we are more bold when the persecution is at its worst. I'm just trying to catch you up. And then I talked a little bit about wildfire season. This is wildfire season. Have you noticed on the news, wildfires all over the Midwest? See, it's easy to determine when something is on fire. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. And so the point here, child of God, if we as a church, if we're not on fire, if we're not igniting flames in our family, in our neighborhoods, with our friends, watch this, our fire is going to eventually go out. You may not believe what I'm saying, but if you're not opening up your mouth every now and then and imparting a witness word to somebody else, watch this, you're going to lose your fire. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about power to do God's will. So we made our way to this unusual confrontation. And I want to usher your attention to the application part of the message. It says our boldness, watch this, comes from the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. When we talk about holy boldness, we're not talking about your handle of the word. And some of y'all handle the word exceptionally well. And I don't want you to lose it. That's a part of it. But your boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. I need you to marinate on that for just a little while. From the Holy Spirit. And what I've discovered all too often is we rely too much on our intellect than we do upon the Holy Spirit. See, when you rely upon the Holy Spirit, He is the one who gives you everything you need for those moments of witness. He is the one who gives you the power you need to stand in the midst of persecution. So our boldness comes from the Holy Spirit, not from our intellect. Verses 8 and 13 reaffirm the fact that something was taking place while Peter was speaking. Get ready to write. The Holy Spirit, child of God, makes the difference. I want you to get that down. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. Let me press this point here for a little while. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. Not pastoral motivation. See, here's where I keep frustrating myself. I keep believing the lie that I can motivate you all to share your faith. Are y'all helping me here? And when you don't respond, I allow myself to get frustrated. And as I was preparing this message for a second time, the Holy Spirit said, see, you got it all wrong, Steve. When believers don't respond to the call to go, Steve Brown, that's not a reflection of your pastoral leadership. That's a reflection of their relationship with the Spirit. Help me, Holy Ghost. They're not telling you no. The Holy Spirit said they're telling me no. Oh, I like that by myself. Help me, Lord, up in here. So when you hear the call, but you choose not to answer, you're not telling Pastor Brown no. You're telling the Holy Spirit no. And you keep telling them no. He may stop asking. And so what happens in the text, this is so powerful. Verse 8, the A clause, it says, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. This speaks of the ongoing filling, the ongoing indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, what happens when you begin to take steps in faith towards obedience, towards glory, understanding who's giving you the power that you need, you will receive an additional filling, an additional empowerment. This is what happens when you're trying to get away from sin. Don't get quiet on me now. Have you noticed when you're doing your best in the Spirit to get away from sin, the Spirit gives you a boost of power that you didn't think you had? See, you may have fallen to that thing 5 to 7 years ago, but as you're growing in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you can say no, talk to the hand, and walk away. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll take the taste of stuff out of your mouth. He'll allow you to look at something that used to make you fall, and now it makes you laugh because you can't believe you used to fall for that foolishness. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the enabler, the enforcer, the one who has solidified and sealed our relationship with the Lord. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit makes the difference. Not pastoral motivation or the lack thereof. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think our screens are acting right, so we're going to keep moving. The Holy Spirit, get ready to write, gives us desire. I want you to get that down. The Holy Spirit gives us desire. When you look at the ministry of Peter and John, specifically in Acts, it speaks of the Holy Spirit enabling them at different points of their ministry. What I love is the Holy Spirit is clear. He's the one showing them what to do, giving them, there it is, the will to do that he has called them to do, a.k.a. the desire. See, man cannot give you desire. Man can present, but the Holy Spirit himself gives desire. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives you the want to. Oh, I like that right there. No marketing plan. I can give y'all flyers all day long. I can give you door hangers and flyers. I can give you email blasts. I can give you text messages. That's just a presentation. The desire to do what God has called you to do comes from the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, gives us desire. But not only he gives us desire, secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us power. Power. I say, I want someone under the sound of my voice to stop operating in the flesh. Oh, God. Stop operating in the flesh. Stop operating in your intellect. Stop operating in your human power. And allow the Spirit to be in control of your encounters. Y'all, in order for Peter to stand and proclaim this message before these religious leaders, do you not know that it could not be his flesh? It could not be his intellect. As a matter of fact, what is powerful in the text is they said they could see that he hadn't been to school. Now, I don't know how they can know that by looking at him, but they can just look at him and he ain't been to seminary. He's not been to BTU. SOL. Nothing. The factor is made is that he spent time with Jesus. Somebody say desire. Somebody say power. But Pastor, I don't know what to say. I just get so tongue-tied. I just get so frustrated. I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit gives us words. The Holy Spirit gives us words. What I love about the Holy Spirit is this. He will allow you to take it as far as you can take it in your flesh. And then when you're ready to give up and surrender at that moment, then he'll step in and say, see, I had you all along. The words, the proclamation that Peter has delivered or is delivering in this message. Listen, no mortal man could have come up with these thoughts. Peter began to give them a history lesson on their faith in their very presence. And he walked them from Abraham all the way to Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave him the words. So stop operating in your flesh. Stop trying to willpower yourself into serving. Because willpower will run out. Holy Spirit power is eternal. So going forward in boldness, it requires us first and foremost, I want you to get this, to spend time with Jesus. Get that down. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Look at verses 13 through 18. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in opposition. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign has been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Two times they have no words. "But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again." So they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Y'all, Jesus makes the difference. When you look at verses 13 through 18, what you see is how spending time with Jesus will confound the enemy. Will confuse the enemy does not have a response. Listen, they said in verse 14, we have nothing to say in opposition. It is evident that something miraculous has taken place. Verse 16, we cannot deny it. But notice, if you will, they see a miracle. They can't deny a miracle, yet they won't believe in the miracle worker. See, here's what I need you to understand. We cannot get frustrated because some people won't believe when we communicate truth. Everybody will not believe. So rather than own up and receive what's taking place before them, these religious leaders determine and decide to stick to their guns. So, Pastor, if I'm going to spend time with Jesus, what are you saying? I'm saying Jesus makes the difference. Let me make you mad real quick, and we can move on to the next point. Number one, Sunday is not enough. Go on, huff and puff. Suck it up. Sunday, and some of y'all think Sunday is new. You've convinced yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's speaking through me. This ain't me, but you've convinced yourself that Sunday is enough. I mean, you can go to your grave with that one. I went to church every Sunday. Did you spend any time with the Fellowship of the Believers? No, but I went to church every Sunday. Did you spend any time in Bible study engaging with others? No, but I came to church every Sunday. Did you go and serve and share and live your... No, but I went to church every Sunday. That's country club membership. That's pull up at McDonald's. May I take your order, please? That's all I want. I don't want nothing else. You won't catch up? No. Sunday's not enough, y'all. This is not Pastor Brown talking. Some of y'all already turned me off because you've already settled in your spirit. Just like the men in this text, they saw the miracle and refused to believe. Some of you are hearing what I'm saying and you refuse to accept it. And that's between you and the Lord. And watch this. I'm going to sleep good at night going forward because of the revelation I received. It ain't about me or my sermon. That's between you and the Lord. Sunday is not enough. Number two, catch this. Growth takes time. This is extra. Growth takes time. See, if you're going to spend time with Jesus, you're going to have to give up something to accommodate the additional time with Jesus. And the reason many of us can't get that good quality devotional life established is because we don't want to give anything up. Your schedule is already full with stuff. Social media, social activity, fellowship, fun, work, family. You don't have time for anything. You got to give up something because growth takes time. And what I love about these disciples is even though they spent 3 years uninterrupted with the Lord Jesus Christ, they still had their issues. So that lets me know, you know what, growth takes time. Maybe I won't get it the first time. Maybe it may take me 3 or 4 or 5 times before I get it, but I'm going to keep striving with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Sunday is not enough. Growth takes time. Thirdly and finally, you got to get in His Word. You got to stay in His Word. And you got to live by His Word. Get in His Word, stay in His Word, live by His Word. With that singular statement that they were uneducated, untrained, but they had spent time with Jesus, it communicates an ongoing discipleship relationship that was evident to those who didn't even believe in Jesus. That's what the Lord wants for every single one of you, not just Pastor Brown. Got to spend time with Him beyond Sunday. Somebody say, spend time with Jesus. We're almost finished, ready to go. Secondly, you have to stand strong, bold, and not in fear. You got to stand strong, bold, and not in fear. So Peter is preaching, he is communicating, then they stop him, they arrest him, then he gets out of jail, he does it again. Listen, they're trying their best to destroy the hope and faith of these disciples. Look at your text in verse 19. They've just told him, don't speak, don't teach in the name of Jesus. Don't you do it. You are forbidden to do it. Verse 19. Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide that. For we are unable, somebody say unable. We are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. That inability to stop speaking is, it at its root, is compulsion. We are called. There is an unction. As a matter of fact, Peter is saying, if we don't do it, it'll likely make us sick. So there is no way we cannot speak the name of Jesus. Now, whether this right or not, Peter said, y'all be the judge of that. All we know is, says Peter, we're going to keep preaching the name of Jesus. Y'all, that's what it means to stand bold and not in fear. I know what you're thinking. Somebody playing my sermon back to me, I think. I know what you're thinking, but Pastor, I get so afraid when it's time for me to do anything for God. I don't care if it's just saying a prayer. I don't care if it's talking to someone about people. I just get so, there's so much anxiety. There's so much fear. And I can feel that. Hear what I'm saying here. Courage is not the absence of fear. But courage is the choice to not be immobilized by your fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. But it is a choice to not be immobilized, paralyzed by your fear. Courage declares, I'm going to take one more step. I'm nervous. I'm shaking. It makes me uncomfortable. I wish I didn't have to do this sometimes, but I'm going to take one more step. And Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there, but I'm just going to take another step. Lord, if you don't give me the words, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm, Lord, you see, I'm taking another step. And as you take that step and take another step, you will discover the Holy Spirit has already beat you where you're going. This issue of absence of fear, it has nothing to do with the Christian faith. You're going to go through some fear. I'm afraid every time I stand up and preach this message, my children try to figure out, Daddy, why you sweat so much? Because Dad is afraid. Why you got to change your clothes after you preach every Sunday? Because I sweated through them of fear. It's not hot in here. This is fear. But watch this. Every step I take, the Lord has a way of empowering me, enabling me, encouraging me to stand. So Peter and John said, no, we're going to keep doing. Right. You do what you got to do. We're going to do what we have to do. And we're going to see who's the last man standing. One of the most inspiring examples of courage in the history of the church was the martyr by the name of Polycarp, P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P. He was burned at the stake for his faith. He was old. He had been arrested by the Roman authorities, brought to the arena for execution in front of a cheering crowd. The proconsul pressed him hard and said, "Swear, and I will release you. Revile Christ, and I'll let you go." Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me wrong. And how can I now blaspheme my king that has saved me?" He said, "I've been doing this for 86 years. He's never failed me yet. Why do you think? Because you threatened my life, I'm going to deny him now." And at that very moment, Polycarp was burned at the stake. Child of God, I know what you're thinking. "Pastor Brown, if I see fire, I'm running." But I need for you to know, the fire right now is not with fire that burns. It's us concerned about our reputation. It's us concerned about who sees us witnessing. It's us concerned about if people refuse our offer of salvation. It's us concerned about folks cussing us out and talking crazy to us and we can't retaliate. Listen, we are missing it. It is not that kind of fire that we face, but it's a different kind of fire. And even that fire, we can overcome. I want you to be so motivated that you beat me here when it's time to do outreach. I want you to be so excited about serving the Lord. The text is moving on. After they were released, they went to their own people, verse 23, and reported everything the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, your servant, 'Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place.'" Verse 29 is crucial. "And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31. "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly." "Pastor Brown, I don't know what to do. I'm so intimidated. I don't want to go and share my faith." Here's this last one. I want you to catch this. Cry out for more of God. That's your determining factor right there. Cry out for more of God. Verse 31 says, "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly." That's where the holy boldness is found in our text. They had another experience as they had in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 speaks of the room shaking and them being filled. And in Acts chapter 4 verse 31, it happened again. And watch this. When they spoke, the text says they spoke the word of God, not with timidity, not because they were afraid, not because somebody was threatening them, but because the Holy Spirit, somebody say Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of them. Yeah. You got to cry out for more of God. Some of us, we are right at the precipice. We're right on the verge of an extraordinary encounter and relationship with the Lord. I know you saved. I know you said. It's all good. But even now, you can sense there has to be something more that he wants to do with my life. I feel the same way as a pastor. I know that there's something more that he wants to do with us as a church. We got to cry out collectively in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to begin crying out right now. I want you to begin opening up your mouth. It's not time for them little cute, quiet little prayers. I want you to open up your mouth. Lay your situation before, lay your apprehension, lay your pain, lay your anxiety at the foot of the cross. Right now, beloved, I'm waiting on some holy, bold prayer warriors to open up their mouth right now. Stop being cute with your prayers and cry out. The text is clear. They didn't just whisper, Lord, we need you to, Lord, we want you to, Lord, if you're, the text says they cried.